Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and wishing one and all, especially every Chinese worshipper, a blessed Lunar New Year. Please keep your Bibles turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to verse 24 is the passage for our consideration. The title is Our Missions of Faith. When we were sinners, we were unbelievers, and the Bible says that we are all sinners, enemies of God, and we are spiritually dead in our sin. We only know one thing, how to live in this world, how to grab, how to gain as much as we possibly can, for we presume and have been taught and told by the world, by the mass media, by the voices through the radio, through the television, and now through the computers and the internet, that life means a life of luxury, a life of success, equals big bank accounts, comfortable homes. Everything is measured according to material things. That's what we were like as unbelievers. Our mission was to grab and gain. But as God's children, as saints, as holy ones, the Bible tells us that our mission is always one of faith. In the Bible, faith is always subjective faith and objective faith. Subjective faith is the faith that you and I possess as we continue to grow and mature in that faith, in our belief in the Word of God. With greater knowledge, our faith with obedience will be strengthened and will increase. That's subjective faith. It varies from person to person. Everyone who is born again has this faith. It is a gift of God, not of man, so that none of us could boast. For our salvation begins with this faith that God has given to all His children. Objective faith refers to the Scriptures, to the Bible itself. And that never changes. That may continue to come under attack. Constantly, when God's servants comes under attack, the Bible comes under attack, especially if they are teachers and preachers of God's Word. And that was the problem in the Apostle Paul's life at this juncture, when he penned this epistle to the Christians in Corinth. They called him a man who cannot keep his word. Last Lord's Day, we talk about yea, nay. Paul did not yea and then nay and then yea. That was the attack on his character. It is basically to dishonor him, and therefore his ministry will also be dishonored. And when his ministry is dishonored, the gospel message would be discredited. How can this man's word be trusted? How can we believe in his gospel message? And that's why in the earlier verses he says that Timothy, Silvanus, that is Silas, and me, we preach to you the same message, the same gospel. If they attack me, why didn't they also attack Silas and Timothy? It is a hidden agenda on their part. And once that is accepted, and if that has succeeded, destroying and dishonoring the man and his gospel, then very often you'll find that the church itself will be destroyed in the process. And that was exactly what Paul tried to stop by writing this epistle, and he dealt with this important issue in his first chapter. And he continues this line of argument that our missions to you is one of faith. Always it is for the purpose of building and strengthening your faith. Nothing else. And that must be our mission too. You and I now has this honor and privilege given by God. Once when we were dead in sin, we couldn't. Even if you want to, you couldn't. But now that we have been saved, no more spiritually dead, but spiritually alive, we have this faith in us. We now can have a mission of faith whereby we can go out and influence others in a manner that will last for eternity. That kind of honor God bestowed only upon His children. Imagine this weak life of ours. Hands that had once upon a time indulged in so much wickedness and sin. this words, this mouth of ours that have spewed out so many painful, hurtful things. Words that we wish we could take back and not utter. Many, many harsh and wicked and sinful and vile words have been come out of our mouth. And the kind of thoughts and motivations that man cannot see, and we dare not show it to man, not even to someone whom we love very, very much, closest to us, because of the shame that will probably come upon us if they were to know the kind of motives we have, the kind of imaginations and thoughts we once upon had in our mind. And now all these have been sanctified and washed by the blood of Christ. Your mind, your thinking, your motives, the words that come out of our mouth, the deeds we do with our hands, the places we go with our feet. All these sum up in this one phrase, mission of faith. That's what God has saved us for. God could have saved us and brought us all to heaven immediately. He could have, but He did not. He had given to all of us this mission. And He says that you must be in this mission. Why? Because of verse 21, where He says that this mission is not from man. This mission is given by God. Paul went from city to city that he had no knowledge what God would do in that city through him. Whether he will face persecution, whether churches will be founded, whether souls will be saved, he put it in the hand of God. But he would go from city to city because it was not a mission that was determined by the church. It was not a mission that was determined by Paul himself. It was a mission that was determined by God. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ. How do you think we met? He was telling the Christians in Corinth. You think I came by my own free will? It was God who directed me. It was God who directed you. And that's how we met. And that's how you hear the gospel. And that's how you came to believe. God is the one who has made firm and sure this relationship that we have with one another in Christ Jesus. And hath anointed us and hath prepared us, consecrated us, set us aside for this particular purpose, for this ministry, this relationship that we have. God is the one who did it. Likewise, you are not in Calvary Pandan BP Church by chance. You may look back into your own life and you will evaluate the difficult circumstances that may cause you to come out of your church if you have been transferred into this church by membership. You look back into your own life and you see the struggle. It was the hand of God who had directed you. And therefore, whatever bitterness that you may experience in your heart in your previous church, you have to put them aside. Because this bitterness will eat in your soul like canker. Canker is some kind of leprosy. Poison. That will destroy your soul and it will destroy your faith because you will continue to turn this bitterness into hatred, and then very soon you will feel like taking the lives of these people who have hurt you so badly, and you have crossed the line into murder. You have to see the hand of God. There are no accidents. You think Paul went from city to city on a holiday? He endured great tribulations and persecutions, but because God was the one who sent him, he was not discouraged. He would not allow anything to stop him. You think he did not feel the same way that you and I continue to feel when friends, when people whom you have devoted your life betrayed you? He had this kind of betrayal. He experienced it especially in the end of his life. When he was all alone, he needed them by his side and they betrayed him. He thought they were his spiritual sons, when in fact, they loved the world and they just simply left him for dead because they were ashamed of him. They were frightened. They were scared to be identified with him. If you have been brought into church because you have been delivered out of the bondage of sin, like all of us, when we came to church for the first time in our own lives, it was because we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. And in the past, the kind of sins that we have committed against God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash them away, including the guilt of sin, the stain of sin, and slowly bit by bit, even the memory of all the heinous sins that we have committed will soon also fade into the distant past, as we allow the Word of God to occupy and to sanctify our hearts and our minds. We become slowly a bit more and more transformed to become more like our Savior. And this is all by the work of God. And this is what we must do in each other's lives. Our mission of faith. By God, He brought us together. There will be differences. There will be stepping on each other's toes. Can't be helped. That's the way we are. Not perfect. Far from it. Still sinners, but sinners saved by grace. And that's why in every church, remember, only two kinds of people. Sinners in need of grace and sinners saved by grace. Which one do you belong to? If sinners saved by God's grace, we are still sinners. Don't forget that. As long as we are in this body of flesh, this earthen vessel, we will still make mistakes. And because we make mistakes, we will inevitably hurt one another. But that's where the grace of God, that's where forgiveness comes in. That's where we need to exercise what the Bible has taught us when we studied Philippians, esteeming others better than ourselves. Continue to think of others first before we think of ourselves. And don't be so sensitive. Oversensitivity is a very terrible, terrible thing. Slightly the words, oh, you hurt me so deeply. Learn to forgive, because God has forgiven us. God has forgiven you. And based upon this forgiveness that we have received from God, the Bible has taught us, we must learn to forgive everyone. Remember, God brought you into this church. The slightest little problem, you want to pack up and leave? The church that God has brought you into, God makes no mistake. If you are leaving the church for doctrinal reasons, understandable. That is correct. You have tried your best, and if this church has stopped preaching and teaching the faithful word of God and you are not growing, and what you get is just all sorts of attack and undermining of your faith, then you have every right, after you have done everything possible, to tell the leaders you cannot do this and you want to go, fine. But don't go for any other reason. Because you are oversensitive, because your boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship has failed. That's why, young people, you be very careful. God has brought us together. God has established us in Christ, and He has anointed us. God is the one who did it, consecrated us for service, where your life must impact others and others' life must impact yours. If you are not ready to deal with broken relationships, you are on very, very thin ice. Because you can shatter faith of one another. How many have left churches because of the wrong reason? The boy likes the girl likes another boy. And the two boys are best friends. Now no more best friends. Now become the worst enemy because of the girl. Now of course, it's not the girl's fault. You're not ready. Pray and trust and wait upon the Lord to bring into your life someone whom He will prepare for you. But you have to prepare yourself. How to prepare? Get yourself more spiritual. You want a spiritual life partner. You don't want a carnal life partner. A life partner that is only external, nothing inward. And if you want someone who is inwardly spiritual, you better be spiritual. Because if God sends someone who is spiritual into your life, and you are not spiritual, you can't see the spiritual. You have to be very, very patient as the Lord builds up your spirituality. Strengthen your faith. Don't rush in relationships. God established this relationship with the Christians in Corinth. And now this relationship is undermined because false teachers have crept into the church and they have said bad things about the Apostle Paul, and Paul had to defend himself, not for his own personal gain or glory, but for the sake of the relationship that he had established with the Christians in Corinth. God brought us together. God brought me to Corinth. God caused you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the teaching of the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy. No accident, by God's sovereign appointment. Don't treat this lightly. Thank God for the relationship, the spiritual bond that you have with one another. Don't let anything or anyone tear it apart. Please don't treat the church as an appendix that you can just simply do without. Find a church. You find the Calvary Pandan is a church where you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then do your part to maintain and help this church remain such a place for yourself to grow, for your children to grow, and for your friends to grow. Do your part. Don't just come and leave. It is God who has established the Apostle Paul and the Christians in Corinth together. And it is God also who has anointed them for this service, for the Apostle Paul to be there. And likewise for you and for me. We all have different callings, but we need one another for the church to be vibrant, for the church to be alive. And we need to work together, pray for one another, serve together, encourage one another in the most holy faith. That's our mission. Mission is always according to faith. Not to compare how big your car is, how big your house is, and these are all nonsense. We are spiritual beings, children bound for heaven. Let us not fill our conversation and our hearts and our thoughts and our minds with carnal things and materialism. But let us fill our hearts and our minds with things eternal. Because that's where you're going, right? That's where we are all going, into eternity, into the very presence of our Heavenly Father one day. Our mission of faith, you must fulfill it. Not only must you and I fulfill it, because you can. Verse 22. Because you can. You see, it's one thing that you want to. It's one thing to be told that you must. But it's another thing whether you can or cannot, isn't it? There may be others who want to, but they can't, because they are not born again. Verse 22, the Apostle Paul made that very clear. He says, who hath, that is God, okay? The who that refers to God, because God is the person right at the end, closest to the word who. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That means you can. God did not want to establish us if He had not also equipped us. He has given to you and to me, to every Christian, all that we need whereby we can fulfill this mission of faith to help one another grow in faith, to help a sinner find faith, to find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we can. He says, who hath also sealed us, that means to mark with a seal, like in those days when you stamp on a very important document after you pour some wax on it and then you take your ring with a seal on it, that this is my seal. That's what many kings did in days of old. And in some circles today, they still do this to very important documents. And the moment the seal is broken, you know that someone had seen what is inside that document. That's why the seal is so important. It is a protection, it is a guarantee that this is mine. And the Bible says, God hath also sealed us, not just me, Paul says, us. That means there were Christians in Corinth who were truly born again, who were there together with some of these who were false teachers. You say, God is the one who has sealed us, make us belong to Him, and hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, the word earnest is what you find in days of old where they want to buy certain things that is very expensive, like a house, like a big piece of property. And they say, we want it. And so now we give you a down payment. We call it a deposit in our language. A down payment. And the down payment, when it is issued or given, it is certain, it is guaranteed that in a short while, subsequently, the full payment would follow. That's what it means. The earnest of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God that lives in us is the down payment, is the security, is the guarantee that your salvation and the climax of it will be glorification, that God will keep all His promises, that you and I will definitely be found in heaven one day. Guaranteed. He has put a stamp on it, on you and me as Christians. Not only that, He has sealed us with the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And with this security, it is assured that you, once you are saved, you can never lose your salvation. And if that is true, how can someone who has this understanding and this knowledge want to live a wayward life as a Christian? Why do you want to live unto yourself, and not to fulfill this missions of faith whereby your life can impact people for eternity. And this impact will be greatest according to the measure of time that you spend. And therefore, the people closest to you are the people who will be impacted the most. And that means your own children, if you are close to your children, if you spend time with your children, especially when they are young, that it will be your honor and your privilege. That is why we do not encourage both mother and father to work. Mother should stay home to look after the children, where your impact is greatest, while the children, during this window of their growth, where your impact is 100%, before they grow older and older, the window will narrow. It will close. For example, in their teens, your impact in their lives may be 40% only, as compared to when they were 4 years old, it was 100%. And when they turn 18, the window of impact would be about 10% or 20% at most. And when they are 21 and above, when they are grown up, your impact is practically none. All you can do is to give advice and now left it to them as adults to make their own decision. This impact, this window of impact, don't forget them, parents with young children. There is no second chance. This comes only once in a lifetime for each and every child. You make a mistake in child number one, you want to repeat the same mistake, it's up to you in child number two. But if you realize a mistake and you don't want to repeat the mistake you have made in child number one is gone. It will not come back. Hopefully you'll learn your lesson and not repeat it in child number two and number three. That's all we can do. And that is the honor and privilege of every parent. And Paul was the spiritual parent. And Paul realized the impact. God has sealed us. God has guaranteed your salvation is secure. That means with this guarantee, you are now a child of God. You can fulfill this mission of faith to impact people for the Savior. And this is all done in our hearts. Inside, you know it. Man will not know. Your friend outside can't know. You will know in your own heart whether you have this stamp, this guarantee from the Lord that if you were to breathe your last breath right now, you know you are in heaven. But not only must you know you are in heaven, you must know you have no regrets. Absolutely no regrets. That from the day you were born again to the day right now, you have done your best in fulfilling these missions of faith, whereby your life will impact people to help them strengthen their faith. Has your life been such? Has your life been seen by others as such? That when they come and they relate to you, when they have fellowship with you, their faith is deepened and strengthened because of you. That they grow to love the Lord more because of you. This is what the missions of faith is all about in your life and in my life as Christians. And this is what we must be. This is the greatest motivation of life, isn't it? The purpose of life. To be able to do this in the lives of people around us. Not animals, huh? You know that, right? Dogs cannot go to heaven. Sometimes we are so friendly to our pet dogs, but we are not friendly to people. How come? Dogs don't go to heaven. Your mission of faith is only for people, okay? Not your cat, not your dog, not your fish, not your birds. Only people. Only people can be saved. Only people can go to heaven. Your dogs, they are just dogs. No matter how you may think that they can talk to you, they can obey you, but they are just dogs. People. Your mission of faith is to people. So please be more comfortable with people than with dogs. And some of us are more comfortable with computers. Computers are also not going to be in heaven. With people, okay? People, you know people? Two eyes, nose, mouth, people? Yeah, that's what people. We all need to help one another. Mission of faith, to help each other grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come to pray. That's why we pray for one another. Because you never, never underestimated the power of prayer. Because prayer means you can move the arm and hand of God Almighty to look after your loved ones. He might not even be a believer, but because of your relationship with God, you can move the hand of God to protect, for example, your son, your husband, who is not a Christian. When they travel overseas, God can do that. You know how great and merciful God is? And if you just simply don't care for all these, when you have all these at your disposal and God bless you with all these, and you just simply put it aside, and then your life is now a big mess, how can you not be guilty? How can you feel that, well, it's not my fault? How can you not feel that it's not your fault? You can do so much with this life that Christ has redeemed with His precious blood. It is called a mission of faith. You must, and because you can. If you can't, even if you want to, excusable. Do you not have the earnest of the Spirit? Do you not have this stamp from the Lord that you are a child of God and you belong to Him? If you truly have this in your heart and you know it, then this is what you must do with your life. Any other purpose or motivation is a poor substitute, because anything else and everything else will not have that eternity impact. Because if you measure things in terms of short term, then you and I are fools. Because as Christians, we are eternal beings. We must never measure our life in terms of our 70 years and 10. We must measure our lives in terms of eternity. And God tells us that this life that you have to live on this earth is precious because, one, it is limited. Two, because it can impact and affect people, others, for eternity. That's why it is so important, so precious. You and I cannot live it any way we like. We have to live this life with this circumspection, this mindset, this goal and this purpose, this aim. Your life can impact someone else's life for eternity. Your life can help a weak brother or sister who may be stumbling through, and you can be the one to pick that person up and encourage the person, so the person will not stumble and fall and be wayward. Your life can do that because God says, I have prepared you, I have equipped you, and I have now commanded you. God brought us together. God says, I've equipped you, I have stamped an approval, and I have given you the earnest, the guarantor, the down payment of the Holy Spirit. And you can fulfill this mission of faith given to all of us by God in our own way, in our own lives. Do you know how tremendous that is to be able to do that? And then finally, would you? Would you do it? Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. Now, Paul here took an oath, and he used the name of God. I call God for a record, for a witness. The word record there is martyrdom, martyr, witness. Upon my soul. And what is the oath that he wanted to take? That to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. In other words, what he meant is this. You know I intended to come. I never lied to you. When I say I want to come, I really meant that I want to come to you. Remember last Lord's Day message, the earlier verses? They call him a liar because he said he's coming, but he did not come. Paul says, I want to come, but circumstances would not allow me to come. And Paul did not gripe or complain. Paul can see the sovereign higher hand of God. Man may prepare, man may propose, but God is the one who redirects and God is the one who disposes of our plans. And He has other plans for us. But then Paul read into this from another perspective where he says, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. In other words, based upon the first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians. It was a church full of problems. There were schisms. There was a man who continued to have a relationship with his father's wife, his stepmother. Probably his father has passed on. And now he has some kind of sexual relationship with his stepmother. And the church allowed it. The church condoned it. There were problems and abuse of gifts. There were problems eating food offered to idols. A host of many problems. And Paul says, this delay in my coming to you, as yet, this delay, it is to spare you. What if I come immediately after the letter arrived, and your life has not been turned around, and you have not changed, and the problem existed? What do you think will happen if I were to come, and to see a church in this kind of sinful state? Paul says, if I had come at that point in time, I will have no choice but to use the rod of correction. There'll be a lot of scolding. There'll be a lot of rebuke. And so this delay is for you to repent and change. And that's what he meant, that to spare you I came not as yet. So this delay in my coming, God knows. God has delayed my coming to you as yet, perhaps to give you more time to repent and to change. For example, to deal with all your schism. Learn to forgive one another. Don't say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of this and that. And if this man who has been sleeping with his mother, with his stepmother, have you all dealt with him? How have you dealt with him? Have you disciplined him? Have you excommunicated him if he has refused to repent of his sin? What about all this abuse of food offered to idols? And some of you have died because you abused the Lord's Supper. And what about this problem of abuse of gifts? This is to spare you so that I don't have to see you in this state. Have you repented? Have you changed? Have you sanctified the church? And then he continues, not for that we have dominion over your faith, it is not to lord over you. Our purpose was never to do that. But our purpose is that we are to be helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Missions of faith. Our purpose is to help you, to strengthen your faith, to help you to stand on your truth, that is the word of God. And what you find therefore in verse 24, your faith, that is subjective faith. By faith ye stand, it is the objective faith. By the word of God, by the truth that you have heard from us, you stand. And we want you to stand. We know that you have stood your ground when you first heard the gospel. But we want you to continue to stand. In other words, don't let these false teachers undermine the relationship that we have. Based upon God's truth, based upon God's word. You must do this mission of faith. You can do this mission of faith. You shall do this mission of faith. Would you? Paul says, we want to. Our purpose is not to lord over your faith, to control you. Who are we to control your faith? It is never to dominate over your faith, to put you down, but it is always to help you, to be your co-workers or fellow laborers, that you may rejoice. Remember, Paul talked about the kind of joy that he found in them initially when he first went there in verse 14. Ye acknowledge us in part that we are your rejoicing even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord. They loved him. They were so thankful to the Apostle Paul for bringing to them the gospel message. He was trying to rekindle the fond memories that they had together. How they first met, how Paul first gave them the gospel, how they were so happy to receive the gospel. And how Paul was so encouraged to see them grow, to receive the gospel and become Christians. Because that is one of the greatest joy that you can experience on earth. To see someone that you cared for come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone whom you have been praying for so long, finally accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as a Savior before the Lord took them home. That kind of thrill, that kind of joy that you have in your soul, and God use you to be part of this salvation plan for this loved one. Because you prayed, because you shared, because you witnessed a good confession by the way that you live, and God use you to lead someone to Christ. Paul says, but our helpers of your joy, that's what we want. We want you to be happy. We want you to be rejoicing in the Lord. So that you will stand and you will not be moved in the faith that we have, the common faith that we have shared with you. That's the missions of faith. Even as you encourage one another, you get encouraged in the process. So this life that God has given to us, don't measure in terms of the world standard. Don't replace it with some other worldly carnal purpose. That is a poor, poor exchange. If you are truly born again, your eyes have been opened. You know that you have this stamp that you belong to God. This earnest of the Spirit. It is a guarantee, a down payment that one day the Lord will take you home unto Himself. And you know it in your own heart. And you know that God has brought into your life, your family, your friends, your church. Then you have no other option. And it is and must be to us a delightful option. To be able to have a mission of faith, to strengthen the faith of others, to build them up, that they will not become casualties in this dangerous and difficult world of ours. You know how sad it is to see young people once upon a time so fervent and zealous, where at least when they were young, when they have to obey their mom and dad, go to Sunday school, so they go. As they grow older, attend the teens, they attend. Because the window of influence is still pretty large. But as they grow older, they enter into the youth fellowship. And very soon the young adult fellowship. And then the adult fellowship. And that's where the real test comes, isn't it? Are they still in these fellowships? Because now it's no more mom and dad pushing me. It's now one of conviction. Do you really want to go? Because the world will continue to pull you further and further away. You have your YF. Now you are in JC now, right? YFs. Junior college, polytechnics, institutions of higher learning. A whole different ballgame. There will be assignments to no end. Are you going to push all these fellowships into an appendix? Only if I have time. You never have time. You never have time. Because we live in a pressure cooker society where work never ceases. It never ends. If you do not put your spiritual well-being as priority, you can forget about your mission of faith. You become a casualty of faith. You become a victim like many. Where you could have done so much. And parents, while the window of influence is there, please continue to pray and encourage your children. YF, YAFers, and then AF. Continue to help one another, to help yourself, to help your family. Please. Don't think that we are not walking on thin ice. All of us are. So hard to build a life of strong witness and motivation to motivate others. So easy to bring the whole life down by one act of stupid sin. It's like building a building. You know how hard it is to build a building? You've got to plan, you've got to submit the drawings, you've got to get all the engineers, all kinds of engineers, the civil engineers to look after the structure, the lighting engineers, the air-conditioned engineers, all kinds of engineers to come and to build. You spend years building, planning, conceptualizing, everything coming in together to destroy. In America, they have these people who families just do one thing, just to destroy buildings. They call it implosion. How to destroy the building and make it fall back inward so that it will not destroy the surrounding buildings. Plant a lot of bombs or dynamites at the right spot at the right time. You take them maybe a month or two to plan all these things. Press a button or a plunger. Boom, the whole building just comes crashing down. That's our life, isn't it? You build one act of witness, one act of stupid sin. Everything destroyed. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to anyone. That's why we need these missions of faith. It's ours, not yours, not my ours. We need one another to pray for one another, to uphold one another, to strengthen one another, to pick each other up when we stumble and fall. That's church life. And that's our mission that God has given to us. May this be true of us in this church. Remember, the church is not the building. The church is you, the people who come. Your spiritual well-being is the thermometer that measures the church. The well-being of the church is your well-being. Paul continues to encourage the Christians in Corinth. Don't let these false teachers creep in and destroy this fellowship that we have. It is a mission established by God. God sent us. It is a mission that God has equipped us with, the earnest of the Spirit. And it is a mission that God now commands us to do for one another. At the end, by faith, we may continue to stand. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this life. a life that thou hast redeemed and saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Father, for this church that thou hast given to us, whereby you have brought us all together, and help us, each and every one, to do our part as your blood-bought children. For this is the missions of faith that you have given to us as your children, that this life that you have redeemed may now impact the lives of others for eternity. May we do so, O Lord, as parents in the lives of our children, and for children who are Christians whose parents are not Christians yet, may they do likewise. O Lord, how great an honor and privilege that this weak earthen vessel can have eternal impact in the lives of others. O Lord, may we not fail thee, but that we may, each and every one of us, take advantage of this honor and privilege, that this life may truly be a life of purpose, a life where the missions of faith are fulfilled to the praise and glory of thy holy name and to the blessing of one another. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.